thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Even.
Here's John Williams.
On weekends. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Thanks for listening. I'm here weekdays until 3, Saturdays, 10 a.m. until 12 noon on social media. Look for me. I'm WGN King John. We've got a new news click up. It's a daily web poll question. You'll find it at WGNradio.com. And on my Facebook page, again, I'm WGN King John there. What's the news click about? I forget. Is it about Serena? Is it about the tennis match? Is that what we asked him about? Or was it something else?
After game one, how do you feel about the 2018 Chicago Bears?
Oh, yeah.
A, crushed but encouraged.
Crushed but encouraged.
B, crushed but the jury's still out.
Yeah.
C, crushed, period.
Yeah. Violetta, how do you feel about the Bears? Crushed but encouraged, crushed but I'm not sure now, or just soul-wrenching crushed?
I thought more about Aaron Rodgers when I saw the comeback than the Bears.
Excuse me?
I mean, he's good. That's the reason we were bad.
He was doing that on one leg. He could
not hardly move.
When he threw that touchdown across corner to the other corner.
Blah, blah, blah.
He was hopping on one leg
the whole time and just dominated. I was about ready to throw my TV out the window, which is weird because we only have one TV. But I did not want to see one more shot of Danica Patrick.
Right, exactly.
You know, if it's the wife, maybe. I'm not even sure we need the wives' reactions. There's enough drama and emotion on this field. These are the two most storied teams in all of football. This is the great rivalry, and it's a great game with a great defender and a great quarterback. We do not need to see Danica going, oh. I couldn't believe they cut away to that. What a stupid shot that was. But anyway.
The touchdown, the game-winning touchdown was a pass of, what, 20 yards?
Yeah, but I mean,
it was the run that the defense that didn't stop them. It was the interception that wasn't made.
The yards after the catch. Yeah, that was amazing.
Not to take anything away from Aaron Rodgers. I love watching him play. I was actually sad when he got hurt because I'm thinking, I like watching Aaron Rodgers
play. What are they going to do all year? They put in that puppy afterwards, and he had a couple of pretty good plays. Yeah. And I thought, hey, what do you know? They got another good backup quarterback until they didn't. So then they bring Aaron back out. He played the second half in a wheelchair. If you didn't see, go back and look. He's actually in a wheelchair.
Trubby was so cute, though. I didn't want him to lose. He was so sad.
Who was?
Trubisky.
Oh, Trubby? Is that what we call him?
That's what I call him.
I didn't know that. Okay, let's talk about sports this way. The U.S. Open was won yesterday by 20-year-old Naomi Osaka. She beat Serena Williams 6-2, 6-4. The chair umpire in the second set, a man named Carlos Ramos, they say one of the top chair umpires in the world, they called him on TV, called Serena for a code violation. Again, this is in the second set. A code violation because her coach was giving her signals. And in tennis, you cannot receive coaching from your coach during the match. But he was signaling her to move closer to the baseline, and that's a violation. Now, she tells the umpire that she's not a cheater. She may also, however, not realize that, in fact, she has indeed been assessed a warning here when the umpire saw her coach give her some advice.
If he gives me a thumbs up, he's telling me to come on. We don't have any code, and I know you don't know that, and I understand why you may have thought that was coaching, but I'm telling you it's not. I don't cheat to win. I'd rather lose. I'm just letting you know.
It was a coaching violation. I guess it was a thumbs up, and Serena's setting him straight. That is not coaching. I don't cheat to win. I'd rather lose.
But I can understand why you may have thought that, but just know
you can tell by the tone there. He says, I know that. The umpire says, I know that. She says, I would rather lose than cheat. I don't teach. I wasn't accepting coaching. I'm not a cheater. And he says, I know that. I know that. So it's very civil. But in fact, her coach was giving her signals. And in tennis, even if you don't ask for help, if he sees your coach trying to help, then the penalty is awarded not to somebody in the stands, but to the player on the court. So Serena has been awarded her first warning here. There's no point penalty for it, but it's strike one against her. Midway through the second set, Serena loses another game and smashes her racket to the ground.
Serena, we need a new frame. Smash that one.
Court violation, racket abuse, point penalty, Mrs. Williams.
Code violation, racket abuse. Okay, cut three is this. Serena looks up now, and she sees the starting score for the new game is 15-love in favor of Osaka. Evidently, Serena thinks that the racket abuse was the first violation, and there'd be no point penalty. But remember, coaching was the first penalty, no point violation, no point penalty. But the second one, for the racket abuse, now they award her opponent a point. So it should be 0-0 for the new game. She looks up and sees it's 15-love.
And now Serena's confused by the score being called out.
Serena serves out that game and afterwards continues to vent at the umpire. She still wants an apology and she calls the umpire a liar. She says, you will never umpire a game that I am going to do ever again. You owe me an apology. Say you're sorry. Say you're sorry. As though that would fix things. It would not. And he probably should not have said that because then that would have been an admission that he'd made a mistake. Then it really throws the game in jeopardy, right? The officiating wise. So he's not about to say I'm sorry or apologize because he's standing by his call. Okay, here's where she gets the game penalty. This is the word that ultimately will cost her the match.
You stole a point from me. You're a thief, too.
Code violation, verbal abuse, game penalty, Mrs. Williams.
Wow.
She called him a thief. As she was walking back to start the next game, she calls him a thief. And that is the word that cost her the match. Serena sees the scoreboard now. So they've finished this exchange on the sidelines. She goes back to start the next game, and she looks up. And instead of the score being 3-4, she sees that it's now 3-5, that there has been a game, a whole game, awarded to her opponent.
Are you kidding me? As I said, you're a thief because you stole a point from me. But I'm not a cheater.
She calls for the referees, so out come Brian Early and Donna Kelso. They have been to this movie before. They literally, the two of them, have had a conversation very similar to this with her before in a U.S. Open Championship match. Serena continues to insist that it was unfair and that men get different treatment. So she loses the match. It's 5-2 there, or 5-2, what would the score be there? 5-3, and she wins a game, and then Naomi Osaka wins a game. So the final is 6-4. But you could see that the outcome was set after that complete meltdown and after she had lost a point, and then after a whole game without a point being played was awarded to her opponent. So she's in total meltdown mode, and she believes that the treatment she's getting is unfair. And the crowd is booing. It should have been a great celebration for this young 20-year-old, Naomi Osaka, who had Serena beat. And Serena is capable of great things. I mean, you thought Aaron Rodgers can engineer a comeback? So too can Serena Williams. Sure didn't look like it was going to happen this day, but you would have liked to have seen it play out without the umpire being part of the issue.
Well, and that's the sweetest revenge, if she could have held it together to win.
I'll make my point about that in just a minute, because I think she could have. At the end of the day, this is Serena's problem. It is not the problem with the official. It is the problem with the player. But you know where Serena really stepped up is at the ceremony afterwards. They roll out red carpet, and there's scaffolding, and there's all sorts of fancy people with fancy clothes on, and there's flags, and it's just this grand, beautiful ceremony with the crowd not having it. Everybody is upset. The champion, the 20-year-old, is in tears. She's pulled her visor down over her face. She can't stand this. And of course, Serena is very, very upset. So they asked Serena to say a word to the crowd.
She played well, and this is her first Grand Slam. And I know you guys were here rooting, and I was rooting too, but let's make this the best moment we can, and we'll get through it, but let's not boo anymore. We're gonna get through this, and let's be positive.
Let's not boo anymore. I'm always, or often, struck by things that people say that apply to more than the moment. So while she was saying "let's not boo anymore" to the crowd because it was inconsiderate to Naomi Osaka, let's make the best of this we can. I thought, boy, isn't that a good mantra for us all in life these days? Let's not boo anymore. We're all booing everybody about everything. Let's not boo anymore, Serena said. And I thought, you go, Serena. Thank you for that. In fact, cut nine is this. This is my new ringtone.
Let's not boo anymore.
Let's not boo anymore, everybody. Hey, Steve.
Let's not boo anymore.
Let's not boo anymore. Violetta, I got...
He can't even say anything.
I got four words for you, Violetta. You know what they are?
Yeah.
Let's not boo anymore.
Let's not boo anymore.
I love it. That okay. Poor girl standing up there next to her.
The match was Serena's to win or lose. Serena chose to lose and make a bigger point. I'll finish that thought in a minute. I want to know what you think, too. The number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can call or text WGN.
You stole a point from me. You're a thief, too.
You're a thief, too. She looked at the umpire and said, you're a thief. And for saying a thief, he awarded her opponent a whole game. You know, on the women's side, there's less margin for that kind of error because the women play best of three. The men play best of five. If you give away a game and maybe compromise a set, at least the other guy has to win three sets. But in the women's case, they only have to win two. So a game is mathematically more consequential, particularly when you're already down one set. And if you are giving away a game in a second set, you are, in essence, giving away the match. And I think that Serena knows that. Ultimately, I think this is her loss. She knows the rules. Coaching is a violation. Her coach said he was coaching her. You could have seen it. Racket abuse is a violation. She abused her racket, which is a silly rule. Tennis, golf, some sports just have such silly rules.
Why is that a silly rule?
Because I crushed my racket to the ground and broke it. Now I get a new racket and I keep playing. Why should my opponent get a point for that?
Because it's unsportsmanlike conduct.
Oh, I mean, if you... Lordy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I talking to James Comey here?
Yeah.
if you throw your helmet in baseball, right, that's an automatic fine, automatic penalty.
Yeah.
Because it's a sign unbecoming a professional athlete.
I suppose so. But I mean, I think all sports, baseball included, do allow you certain emotions. And I think in a Grand Slam final, the slamming your racket to the court is not an unreason. Now, slamming it in the direction of the umpire or your opponent. But if you're just angry and you think, I think I'll cost myself $500 here, and you slam your racket on the ground and then you pick up another one.
But if you were thinking that rationally, you wouldn't be throwing your racket to the ground.
I don't know why you need to be penalized for thinking irrationally. You ought to be able to vent some steam. How many times do you see an athlete score or commit a foul and they go, ah, and they make a sound or they do something? That's just human beings out there. So racket abuse, unless you're a racket, is okay by me. But those are the rules. Serena knows them. She knows them. She abused the racket. She knew, or should have, that one more abuse of the rules would cost her the game. And again, maybe ultimately the match. So I think in her head, and she must have known this, her options were to temper her display or not. Push the umpire. Almost dare him. Go ahead. Throw the match in my opponent's favor. Let's see you do that. And he did. And in the process, she made the point that tennis is silly and maybe sexist, because she says the men get away with this and the women don't. So what's a more important thing for you to do, Serena? Stay competitive and try and win the match, or make this a point about sexism in tennis? And she chose the latter. That was her choice. At least that's the way I see it. By the way, a lot of the guys that they're calling out who also have been very abusive and not penalized are guys that don't play anymore. Jimmy Connors, Nastasi, Andre Agassi, of course, John McEnroe. Those guys long since retired.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, about if standards have changed.
I think they have. You don't see Federer doing this. You don't see Djokovic doing this. You don't see Nadal doing this. And as they were wise to point out, when they don't do it as a third violation. The guys just don't do what Venus did or Serena did and has done in the past. I mean, this very same thing happened about 10 years ago against Kim Clijsters. It was the championship game. She had a foot fault. She blew up on that. and then she had some words for this tiny little Japanese-looking line judge. And Serena's bigger than her. And the judge is the size of a pepper shaker. And so she comes over and she shakes her racket at her menacingly and says, Ruzza, Frezza, Frezza, Frezza. I don't know what she said, but it was probably not Ruzza, Frezza, Frezza. I don't think it was bad words, but she was really laying into her. And then she went back to serve. And then she says, and you know what? Ruzza, Frezza. And she gave her some more. And this tiny little woman shrunk. By the end of the last Ruzza, she was maybe 18 inches tall. And so finally she goes over and she tells the chair umpire. And she says, she said she was going to kill me. And I thought, she probably will. She's going to put you in her bag and have you for a snack, lady. And then she's going to kill you. This is what will happen to you. And so that was regarded as verbal abuse. The point was awarded and the match was over. I mean, this is the second time this has happened to her. You don't think Serena remembers that? Of course she does. She brought it up when she was arguing her point after the fact. This was her problem to fix, and she did not.
There's such a contradiction, too, in her toughness and anger and then, you know, her plaintive sort of it's not fair kind of thing. You know?
I know people are championing this as being a strong woman, and
she is.
She is. I know. Oh my God, I know. I just don't think this is an example of that.
She fell into that sort of...
She was throwing a temper tantrum.
Yeah,
But when you're mad like that, you don't think clearly. The same reason you'd, you know, throw your racket and break it. The same reason you would keep bringing up the same point. But I do think that she didn't realize... I thought when she spoke to the guy, she was like... Oh, so we agreed, you know, that was not coaching. So I think she thought she didn't get a warning.
Yeah, they're speculating that she didn't realize that she already had one strike against her.
But she was mad.
Catherine Lake is waiting in the PPG Paints green room. A colleague of ours who told us a really interesting story about her condo a few months ago. She's going to come back and give you part two of this fascinating story. We're going to talk to her after the news on WGN. Thank you, Steve Bertrand. John Williams in the Allstate Skyline studio. We just finished my little monologue about Serena Williams, and your texts are many and include this. Hey, John, check out James Blake's Twitter account. He's a recent player and talks about unfair treatment for women. He's currently the director of the Miami Open. from 847. I wish that Serena had not told the referee that he would never work another one of her games again. But Serena's right. Men are treated so much differently in tennis than the women are. John, Serena needs to come back and be the one that apologizes. She's not above the rules, says 630. And 224 says her behavior is nothing compared to John McEnroe. She's right. There are different standards for men and women, but a lot of you think that she was also acting like a spoiled brat. You're all over the map on this one, and that's why, as I told my son who texted me yesterday, and he said, well, if nothing else, that was entertaining. And I said, that's why in ESPN, the first letter stands for entertainment. That's what sports are.
And I said you're penalized for throwing your equipment in baseball.
Yeah.
And it was pointed out to me that if you, you know, break a bat over your knee
you can do that.
You pop up, you're not penalized.
Yeah.
So.
Huh. Yeah.
But you're not the only player on the team.
But it's not during a beef either with the umpire. I don't know if that's the difference or not.
I don't know.
You could slam your helmet to the ground if you pop up, right? But not if you're arguing.
So subjective. It's so subjective, right? Like some guys will say something to an umpire and the umpire will throw him out of the game. Other times guys will say something to an umpire and he won't. And you kind of know who the players are and who the umpires are. You know the room. And this guy is regarded as a bit of a no-nonsense umpire. And Serena knows that emotions can get the better of her. By the way, you just heard that little, don't stop believing. That's your cue to call. And Donna called. Hi, Donna. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm great. How are you?
Good. You're the right caller. You've just won a family pack of four tickets to see the White Sox against the Cubs.
Thank you.
Friday, September 21st, 3:10. Wow. This will be a great series, and it's going to be on the South Side, so come down and see us, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Elif will make sure we get the last details from you off the air. Catherine Lake is one of the spot producers here at WGN Radio. You hear her work on the air all the time. You don't always know the name behind it. Hi, Catherine. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Somebody came up to your condo earlier this year and did what?
Suggested that we might want to en masse as a group, six units, all sell our building.
They put a note on a door or
something? Yeah, I think that or an email, something like that. And it was a decommission. What do they call that? Now I can't think of the word. But they wanted to resell them as apartments instead.
So they said, hey, all you people in, what is this, six flat?
Yeah, six flat. Deconversion, that's the word.
So they said, we're going to buy all six of you out.
Yep.
We'll probably rehab it a little bit, and then we're going to rent them out as apartments.
That's right. Unconvert it, make it a deconversion, and we were all in a white-hot panic, I'll tell you. Some kids were thinking, oh, good, money to be made now. But those of us who have been in there forever, we've just gotten back to the value we paid 15 years ago.
Why? What happened to the value of your condo?
In 2008, just like all others, dumped to the bottom. Almost half. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
The assessed valuation.
The assessed valuation. Good news is our taxes went down for a while.
Oh, they did?
Oh, they did.
It's funny because I didn't know that that happened. I'm not making that up.
I didn't either. And now, this year, they'd like to double our taxes.
How did they know that the property value, quote unquote, went up?
Oh, somebody must have said it. We're back. Oh, okay. Let's go get them.
Maybe this process flagged it. Who knows?
Could be.
But so somebody says, okay, so then did they come out and... Wait, first of all, then did those of you that live in these units have a conversation about
we
want to sell or not?
We did.
And you voted no.
And we all said, let's get some more information. And several of us, I mean, literally three of us were thinking, I don't know that there's any information you could get that is going to make me want to move for... less than a ridiculous amount of money, first of all.
You wanted more than what you owe.
Absolutely.
You wanted, if to move, you needed a profit as
yes.
well.
Yes, and hello, maybe more than it's worth. Not right. not just what we owe, but more than it's worth.
Right, it would seem to me like you're in the driver's seat here.
Right.
And if you want to buy me out, make me an offer.
And it better be serious because you're going to get rent money from now on.
But some of them probably bought when it was depressed. They got a great deal. Just the market has brought them back more than they paid.
Precisely.
So
a young couple without kids, maybe it was an investment.
So somebody who's just giving you market rate right now, but not a fortune, might be very good for the people that bought very cheap in your building.
True.
So they were like, okay, yeah, let's go.
Let's find out what they want to give us.
So did these people do a walkthrough?
They didn't even do that. We wrote back and said, well, so you better be worthy of the time, but come and see it. And they wrote back within 24 hours and said, you know what? We're not going to even come look. Don't worry about it.
Friends of mine, people I've traveled with, Brenda and I, really nice couple. I bumped into them a couple of times. They told us about this on the last trip we were on. And then I bumped into them just literally on the Michigan Avenue Bridge going over the river the other day. And somebody, they were in a high rise. And somebody came in and bought the high rise.
Oh, my gosh.
They bought the high rise. I don't know if it was like 15 stories of condos.
Holy smokes.
Everybody had to move out.
Yeah.
They all had to find a new place to live.
You think you own your condo, and that's just until I sell it. But sometimes
they sold, and then they're going to redo it and make it, I guess, rentals are hot right now.
Rentals are, oh, I don't think they're double mortgages, you know, average mortgages. I don't know if we can say something like that, but they are definitely in a high right now. It is a renter's market.
So these people then took their money, and they made some money. They profited from it, but I think if they'd had their druthers, they would have stayed because they really liked where they were living.
See?
And the money wasn't enough to make them jump up and down,
and
but they had no choice.
To.
Yeah,
no choice, that's crazy. And that's what we were afraid of with only our six units, because all it takes is four.
Four.
Yeah. Yeah, but the two ground units have a little more equity because we're double floor, we're duplex down, whereas everybody else is one story, two bedroom. I think we have a little more pull. And if I get one more, that's what we were thinking was all the
vote might
negotiations.
Be square footage.
Yes. Yeah. But it didn't turn out to be a big deal. They just said all the best in the future, but we're not going to do it. We think you'd be able to get more money selling your condos individually.
Yeah. Well, I think that's.
Thanks for letting us realize we were not so dumb.
But in the meantime, your taxes go up.
Meanwhile, our
taxes.
Have
they doubled?
They have a potential. We are we're protesting, like we talked about a little bit. You can write and you can get an attorney to do through the process. And they said we were assessed at 2.427, and now we're only 2.4, which means we saved $27,000 for a whole year for six units. It's not that big of a savings.
So you saved about $4,000 a unit in assessed valuation.
And that's funny. They said, which amounts to approximately $550 tax savings per year or $1,650 over the triennial.
Yeah, okay, so you're saving $500 a year, $550 a year in taxes. But how much did your taxes go up?
I mean, they were literally nearly double. I think they were 45% if I did the math correctly in my head.
What were you paying, a couple thousand?
I was paying six, and now they want 10 to 11.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was solid six for years.
I could see how they need to recover the taxes the same way you want to recover equity. But it seems to me like when I get to be king, it will be gradual.
Right.
They can't just say, oh, the market's back. So now you owe us $11,000 instead of $6,000.
It was a slap across the face to suddenly get that bill. I thought, did I move and forget?
So now you have to include that in your mortgage payment each month?
Yeah, we got a weird situation with ours, too. We got a modification because we got decimated by the downturn. So our mortgage is quite low, but it's about to be increased by quite a bit.
I don't know if this has happened to you, 312-981-7200, or if you have anything to say about this. Is this happening out there? But lo and behold, I know two people now whose condo has just been knocked on and purchased or nearly so. And I think a lot of us in my old neighborhood in LaGrange Park, am I remembering this correctly? Maybe it was somewhere else, but people would sometimes put a little sticker on your door saying it might even be pre-printed.
Oh, sure.
But it would say, you know, we're looking for a house in this neighborhood
or
property to flip in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Not that ours was flippable, but they wanted to buy. They were looking to buy in this neighborhood.
I used to get brochures in my house all the time.
I wanted to make that call.
You did.
I did, but I didn't because I thought, no, this isn't legit.
It's too good to be true.
The translation is, your house is dumpier than all the other ones around here.
And mine wasn't.
We want to get you out of this neighborhood.
Well, mine wasn't. And they could look up and see what I paid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I don't know what they were thinking, but I thought, okay, say my house is worth, say I paid $400,000 for my house, and maybe I owe $275,000 on my house. And $400,000, $275,000. And you want to come in and give me, and now I'm making up a number.
Right.
I'm like, six.
Yeah.
You want to give me six? Have it for, I will move tomorrow.
Right.
We will move tonight.
Of course.
We won't even move. We'll just go. You can even
have the
dogs. Yeah. So I think we've all had that little fantasy where like you go, I think I'll call these guys.
But it's never good enough. Of course not. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Well, I'm curious what you have experienced. 312-981-7200 as we continue to follow the saga of Catherine's condo. Kevin Powell, WGN Radio Sports. You'll hear him on with Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis in a little bit. Just strolled through the studios, opened the door, and said, "Bear suck," and walked away.
Why?
Why? And by the way, that's a code violation. You can't do that.
Did he break a racket?
We're going to fine him $17,000. John, 75% of ownership by percentage ownership has to vote to deconvert a condo. Oh, did you know that?
Yes.
So the number is 75%.
Yes. So we had to get a coalition to make sure we had
75% of six people.
It's not six people. It's four units and two. Think of it that way, because they're only one floor. We have a higher percentage. So we're like 21% and they're 14% each or something. Maybe,
okay.
Maybe as even as 15 and 20.
But if you're 21%,
right,
you would then need one more of them
one
to get you
the
over
four.
The 75 threshold.
That's right.
So then you say, hey, Tom and Tina, come on over for some snacks.
Exactly.
You know,
chocolate.
Let's watch a movie. And then you like have steaks and you get, you know, fine wine.
If you move, this is over.
But this is over. The gravy train is done.
Yes.
That's a funny line. You were at 21%. You need to be at 25.
Yes.
Thank you, 312, for the text. Okay, so the so just to finish your story then, my friend, so as it is now, you're back to your condo, which is really what you want.
Yes.
You're regaining some equity in it. You're paying more in taxes than you want, but the taxes are probably back to where they once were before the crash. Is
yeah.
that about right?
Yeah, but I hardly remember those days. I think when we first got in, we might have had to escrow our taxes, and now we don't. And then we were back to I don't remember over the years now, but yeah, it's probably back to snuff finally.
Let's just finish then this segment with some of the texts about Serena. I've given you some of the texts to read. I'll read some too.
Okay.
John Williams, a 23-time Grand Slam champion. Serena was one of 10 women punished for code violations at this year's U.S. Open, while 26 men were fined. So the idea that women get punished more than men is not true at this year's U.S. Open. Most of the fines issued were for racket violations, 14 men and 5 women. The men were punished more than the women this year. 3 men and 3 women were penalized for audible obscenities. 5 men were fined for time delays, while 4 men and 1 woman were penalized for unsportsmanlike conduct. So statistically, Serena is a show unto herself. She's a category unto herself. But in general, the women were not punished more harshly at this year's U.S. Open. There's the numbers for you than the men.
Plus, well, it's because women don't act like that.
Well, it says here, John, she lost to a woman of color. So how is this a double standard for women of color? I don't think race is part of the issue as much as it is gender. And as it is just Serena, she's a category unto herself. What else are people saying?
They suggested that this is another forum where women are treated differently, unfair to Serena. And then someone said the rules were put into place because of McEnroe and Connors. I think that they maybe started the
right crackdown on
right
behavior. But again, Serena knew the rules.
Yeah.
Okay, my friend, I'll let you get back to doing the job you do. We'll hear your voices on the promos and commercials for this radio station. And good luck with that condo.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Catherine Lake.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, weekdays 1 to 3, Saturdays 10 a.m. till 12 noon.
Lord have mercy.
On social media, WGN King John, look for me there. And don't forget, we've got a news click. It's a daily web poll question. Over the weekend, we asked you this. Apparently, some people in the Trump administration are secretly working diligently to frustrate parts of his agenda. This is a good thing. Adults in the room should protect us from the president's impulsiveness. Or B, it's a bad thing. It's wrong for bureaucrats to work against the wishes of the people. 84% of you said it's a good thing. Adults in the room should protect us from his impulsiveness. That's what your heart is telling you, but you know it's wrong for bureaucrats to thwart the rule of the will of the people. By the way, we have a new news click up for you. LF, what's the new news click, please?
After game one, how do you feel about the 2018 Chicago Bears? A, crushed but encouraged. B, crushed but the jury's still out. C, crushed.
Kevin, how are you going to vote on the news click at WGNradio.com? Oh, hold on, Kevin. Now you're up, buddy. Go.
Crushed. I'll never, ever call me in 20 years, John.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you on September 9th, 2018, where I was. And I still will not be over that game.
I'll tell you what. I think that's funny. I will remember sitting on the sofa. Brenda went to bed and she goes, wow, this is going to be great. And she goes, there's no way, or something like that, we can lose. Like, boy, we, you know, because by now they'd kicked a field goal or two, whatever. But, you know, there wasn't enough time. And we were too good. And we had this Khalil Mack guy who evidently has triplet brothers, and they just run all around the field and eat quarterbacks for a living. So there was no way we could lose. And then so then I went back into the bedroom later on. I said, we lost. And she goes, no, no. I'll never forget where I am at this moment in my life.
It's one of those traumatic moments in my life, John, where you just kind of, everything goes black. You just kind of, last night was a blur to me.
The Bears won the Super Bowl 33 years ago, and I said to you, this is your assignment. Since then, how many times have we liked the Bears? It just seems to me like in, like we're already pissed off at the Bears.
Yeah.
They've only played one bad half. You know, last year we were just ticked at the Bears. The year before that, everybody's just screaming about the Bears. When you listen to Bears coverage, here's what you do. You get some big guys, and they just talk like this, and they're really mad about the Bears. And that's Bears coverage in this town. And I'm trying to remember, when is the last time we, as fans or as a city, said good things about that team?
I wasn't alive for the 85 Bears, John. And even when the Bears were in the Super Bowl in 05-06, there was still some anger with Bears fans because it was, man, this team, imagine if we had a quarterback. You know, Rex Grossman back there tripping all over himself. So even when they went to the Super Bowl, there was still that. I've never in my lifetime, I'm 29, I've never there. And I think part of it, though, even if this team was dominant and winning all these games, it is the golden era of the Cubs right now, and it is still a Bears town every single day of the week, 365.
Absolutely.
So I think everybody is so passionate about it that even if they go 16-0, Bears fans will still find something to be upset about.
Put another way, Bears fans are more comfortable being angry with their team than happy with their team. I think
it's easier to be upset with them.
No, that's all we know how to do.
You're right. That's a good point.
I know friends who say the 86 Super Bowl was not a well-played game. I'm not kidding.
Or they're mad that they didn't win more Super Bowls, right?
Well, I mean, because the next year they didn't win it. I mean, I thought, okay, this will be fun. It was not. It was not. All right, well, so vote with your mouse, WGNradio.com. How are you feeling about this year's Bears? I think the correct answer has to be in the middle. I mean, you saw things that positively gave you hope and positively crushed you. We got out-coached in the second half, I was told by, well, you, Kevin. You actually said that to me off the
air. Matt Nagy blew the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question about it.
All right.
But no, he did good.
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
good job.
Yeah,
hey, good job.
I love Violetta's breaking news earlier. She goes, "This Aaron Rodgers guy's really good, huh?" He's been dominating for a decade. We know how good he is. Matt Nagy blew it, third and one on multiple.
Why do you think you can win the game?
Because the Bears have a much improved team. They have Khalil Mack. They have Leonard Floyd, Roquan Smith.
And
played one play and he had a sack.
What's the name of our quarterback?
Mitchell
Trubisky.
Trubisky. Great first half.
I saw stuff I liked.
Yeah, he definitely, you could tell he's a little bit frozen at the end there.
Oh, so sad.
By the way, speaking of that, just one last text. They keep coming in about Serena. It says, hey, John, you know, we were sort of breaking down Serena's behavior and her complete breakdown. And, you know, is that showing the double standard in sport or is it all on her? I tend more towards the second. It's both, but at the end of the day, you're responsible for the outcome of your game. From 423, John, Serena sounded like a sleep-deprived mother of a one-year-old toddler. There's something to that, too. I mean, literally, when she started her rant on the umpire, she goes, I'm not raising my daughter to think that her mother's a cheater. Like, what? Well, you're talking to me about your daughter right now? This is not what
you're
should be doing.
You're not the only one that's a mother or ever had a kid.
Well,
she lost a little bit.
My point is that probably the pressures brought to bear on her were many, and being the mother of a one-year-old is a very difficult thing for human beings to do. This texter says, hey, John, the lottery office in Springfield has a computer problem today. They are not making any payments on any winnings today. Save the listeners a trip, please. Don't go to Springfield if you are planning on picking up a check. There's an interesting text message you don't get every day. John, why didn't Mac go after Rodgers in the second half? I think he tried, but they put some other people there, and Rodgers was conveniently not in the area where Mac was at times, and he threw shorter routes, right? I mean, it seemed like he was getting rid of the ball quicker, even on one leg.
Part of it was coaching. Packers made adjustments at half. Bears didn't. Bears got out-coached last night.
Hey, listen, just a moment ago you heard Sarah Sanders talking at the White House press briefing about the anonymous essay in the New York Times. They're asking their Justice Department to look into it. Sarah Sanders said that if somebody in the White House is, quote, undermining the executive branch, then we'd like a legal opinion on that. Undermining the executive branch. You go back and read that essay, and while you heard that there was dissent, and that maybe they were trying to work around against the president's impulses, they said there are a lot of good things the president is doing, that they are on board the conservative agenda. I mean, I don't see what the crime is. It's bad management. You know, like when you have a bad team, if you think there's somebody that's undermining, you could fire the whole office and rehire everybody. There's no crime there. It's simply you've got a bad bunch of people working for you. They're not with the program. And if you can't figure it out, fire everybody and then rehire them one at a time if you want. That happens. I think that's what's happening here. Some people are on board. Some people aren't. You cannot be surprised by that. So I don't see the crime here. And turning the Justice Department against them is ridiculous.
Right. That's the issue. You can investigate it. It would be your chief of staff, John Kelly, provided he didn't write it, who would investigate and find out who on his staff wrote it. It wouldn't be a criminal investigation. And I think that's what the reporters were getting at. Why would you involve criminal prosecutors in a case where there doesn't appear to have been a crime? Bad behavior, inappropriate behavior, and probably fireable behavior, but not something that would require a prosecutor.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It really is. If you're the White House and you like to portray yourself as a well-oiled machine, the president still says that. Things are running well. Imagine that. Even if you're getting things done, imagine how well they could be going if it was a well-oiled machine. But whatever. You do not have a crime here, at least not as evidenced by that essay. And to turn the Justice Department, you know what he's doing. He just keeps lining up things that he wants Jeff Sessions to do that Sessions won't, right? So next week he's going to ask him to walk on Mars. And when he doesn't, he's going to say, here's why we need to get a new attorney general. It's not about me. It's about he's not executing the plans of this government for the people. Like he won't fire Robert Mueller, or he won't investigate this essay. He didn't even walk on Mars. He's just going to throw another thing in the hopper. So they asked Mike Pence, who, as we all know, wrote that anonymous essay. They said, did you write the anonymous essay? And Pence says, I did not. And I'm like, yeah, well, but somebody on your staff did. Did somebody on your staff write the essay, Mr. Pence? All right, so here's the vice president. Elif, are you ready to play Mike Pence? Thumbs up on Mike Pence. We're going to play the Mike Pence cut. Okay, so then he was asked about it, and he gave an answer that he felt wasn't clear. So after he was interviewed by CBS, he said, can I come back and re-answer that? And they said, sure. This is what happened.
Mr. Vice President, I asked you earlier if anyone on your staff wrote this op-ed. Have you asked your staff?
Oh, well, I thought you were speaking about the administration staff. Let me be very clear. I'm 100% confident that no one on the Vice President's staff was involved in this anonymous editorial. I know my people, Margaret. They get up every day and are dedicated just as much as I am to advancing the president's agenda and supporting everything that President Trump is doing for the people of this country.
And so, you ask them?
Well, I honestly, I don't have to ask them because I know them. I know their character. I know their dedication. And I'm absolutely confident that no one on the vice president's staff had anything to do with this. But that being said, you know, whoever this was, they should do the honorable thing and resign.
Okay. But it's just funny because that's the vice president saying nobody would lie to me. He's the only one that, in fact, they have lied to. Ask General Flynn how that worked out. Do I remember that correctly? Wasn't it to the vice president that he didn't tell the truth, and that's why
right, and
he
the
lost
vice president,
his job?
The vice president went out and spoke on his behalf.
And was embarrassed, and so they said, you got to go now. Of course you got to go now. Fine, then you fire him. If you figure out who this is, fire them too. If you can't, too bad for you, and if you can, then fire them all if you like. But show me the crime. In fact, other than the fact that it's a distraction, show me the problem here anyway. WGN Radio employs about, what do we got here, 75 people? I'll bet you could get a couple of people to write an essay going, you know, what we really have here is a situation where we need to get rid of the... And then if somebody thought that was important enough, they could publish it. In fact, these sorts of things do happen sometimes, right? Every group of employees, you've got a couple of people that think they got a better idea how to run the joint.
that's not
a crime.
This is different. I mean, this is the joint.
Well, I know that, Steve, but I think some of the same principles apply. That is, it's incumbent upon you to get the best people to work around you and to work around the people that aren't on board that you can't figure out. That's just the nature of work. There's always a couple of disgruntled employees. And if, I don't care who you are, if just reading the news, you don't think that there aren't probably some disgruntled employees in this administration? Imagine the career EPA official. Imagine the person who has spent their life trying to protect the environment. And then we have the change of guard, and now you have the Trump administration. Don't you think there's a lot of people in there that are going, oh, blah, 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 blah? I mean, of course there are going to be some disgruntled employees.
Yeah, but they're not arguing. The piece doesn't say, well, and we thought the tax cut was really a bad idea for America, so we tried to stop it. What they're saying is, we think that this president isn't up to the job, and so we're trying to protect you from him.
Yeah.
That's different than
maybe so.
You know, thinking there should be a new midday host or something on the radio station.
Well, then,
or news, I should say news anchor.
And by the way, that is what it is. Everybody's writing letters to the boss, going, "We got to get rid of Williams." So let's just be clear about that. And Steve is clearly the author of those essays.
Lodestar is my favorite word.
I love that word. You think we'll ever find out? Do you think? I don't think this matters. Every company, every group of employees has a group of people that aren't really on board. But it's no big deal. You'll be fine. This does not matter. If they would let it go, we would let it go. They can't let it go.
I think it matters. I do think it matters.
What do you think should happen then? What would you do if you were President Trump about this?
Well, I'd try to find out who wrote it. Absolutely, I would.
Would you be tweeting about it? Would you ask Jeff Sessions to investigate it?
Well, I don't think Sessions is the one, but I would try to. It's important to find out. I mean, but the argument, John, isn't that we don't like his policies. It's that he's not capable, and there's danger with him in the White House.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sort of a guilty pleasure to say, oh, look, someone wrote that in the New York Times. But if it's a real issue, I think those people should be standing together and speaking publicly. I mean, if they really think that the government is in the hands of someone who's dangerous, then they owe it to us to say it out loud.
I suspect we'll find out. I suspect that person will lose their job. And I think both of those things are appropriate. It's 223. We'll pick up some phone lines in a minute. The number is 312-981-7200. You're listening to WGN. This is John. You're on the air. What do you want to say?
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. I live in the state where the winners of last night's game live, but I'm a Bears fan. But anyway, the reason I'm calling is about money words, like the word undermining. Somebody's undermining his government.
Yeah.
Well, a White House staff member could donate money to a Democratic PAC group, and that would be a form of undermining. So I don't know what the heck the word means. It's like the word significant. Somebody's interviewing for a sales job, and they say, well, what did you do for your last company? Well, I made a significant increase in sales. Oh, well, that's nice, but they fail to answer what kind of increase, 2%, 10%, 5%. So those muddy words cause me to look rather ensconced at what they're saying.
That's interesting because the word undermine, you bring up the definition of undermine. Undermine is the word she used. And yeah, to undermine is not a crime. Thank you for the call. I want you to get out of the highway now. Get to a safe place and call us again, okay?
Oh, I'm on the side of the road.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate your listening.
Thanks, John.
312 says, do we have any proof that someone from the White House wrote it? Omarosa? Question mark.
Well, we have the New York Times word, and I think that stands for something. They said it was a
current
administration official.
Yeah, and she's not that anymore. So that, which I guess refutes then or undermines, if you will, the theory that it was John McCain's salvo from the other side.
Who wrote no, it. I don't think so.
Some people think, oh, he wrote before he passed, and then when that happens, he'll get the last word, and he'll get. But then the New York Times is a liar, and I don't believe the New York Times is a liar. Does the New York Times sometimes get things wrong? Yes. Do they do so intentionally? No. So it's not John McCain. It's not Omarosa. Incidentally, I looked in the New York Times book list yesterday. What is the number one best-selling nonfiction book in the United States today? Bertrand,
Bob Woodward's Fear?
Correct. It's Omarosa. Unhinged.
Really?
Omarosa's book is number one.
Wow.
I'm shocked. Here it is. Hold on. So number one is Unhinged by Omarosa Manigo Newman. Imagine a world in which she has the best-selling nonfiction book in America. Number two, The Russian Hoax by Greg Jarrett. The Fox News analyst makes his case against the FBI investigation into collusion.
So Woodward's book isn't out then?
No, its release day is today.
Okay.
We're going to get it in this studio tomorrow. I just last week, or no, today, got Ken Starr's book. Ken Starr has a book. Which is timely in a way, isn't it? And he's going to talk to us tomorrow. So I'm going to try and read Ken Starr's book tonight.
Ask him about Kavanaugh.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's just so many things to talk to Ken Starr about. So we'll hopefully have a rousing conversation with him tomorrow. And then in the top 15 nonfiction books in America today, of course, it's very political and it's pro and con. Some of these people are defending and like the president. And other people think that it's the soul of America, which is being chased away. And it's a horrible thing. And then, you know what is still in there, and I haven't read this yet, is Educated by Tara Westover. The daughter of a survivalist leaves home for university. That book has been in the top five for months, and I have not yet looked at it. I mean to. What else is in the top 15? Astrophysics for People in a Hurry has been there for over a year now by Neil deGrasse Tyson. What a fun book that is. What a great interview he was. What else is in there? There was another one that we did. I don't see it now, but the book about Theranos. What was the book by, what's her face, over at Bad Blood? Bad Blood is also flirting in the bestseller list as well, and that's a really good book, too. Okay, put that aside. John, do we have any proof that it was someone from the White House who wrote Omarosa? By the way, just one last note about all of this. The vice president says that he will take a lie detector test. Mike Pence vowed Sunday he'll take a lie detector test to prove that he was not the author of an explosive anonymous opinion piece that claims that high-up Trump administration officials have been working actively to thwart the president's political agenda. I would agree to take it in a heartbeat and would submit to any review of the administration wanted to, Pence said on Fox News Sunday. Hey, John Williams, Omarosa was on The View today. She said she believes that the anonymous New York Times essay was written by Mike Pence's chief of staff who wrote the op-ed piece. And this one says, John, a guest of ours at work said it was Melania. Ha. Well, it didn't say be best anywhere in there, so maybe it wasn't Melania. And, John, tell Kevin that the coaching did not lose the game. The players are paid to catch the football. It's not the coaches.
Well, the receivers are good last night. Mm-hmm. If Kyle Fuller caught the ball, the game would have been over.
Boy, aren't we lucky, though, that we even had a second chance. Who is their long-haired defensive dude who, on fourth down, had roughing the passer?
Oh, Clay Matthews, yeah.
Clay Matthews, he gave us four more cracks.
Yeah, I would say my favorite moment from last night was Mitch Trubisky perfectly running the option play on the goal line and juking Clay Matthews, and Clay Matthews ran into his own teammate and fell down.
They were looking
I'm like, this
very
is
bad.
Awesome. Mitch Trubisky just juked out a Pro Bowl-type guy from the Packers we've seen forever around here. So that was a
beautiful
moment.
Thing.
And Khalil Mack's pick six.
You know, if you DVR'd the game, just watch the first half. You'll love it. You'll love it. It'll be one of the nicest things you'll ever see.
In fact, just watch it twice and pretend it's a whole game.
We won 40 to nothing.
Idea.
Imagine that. By the way, the news click is not about this. Actually, it is a little bit about this. Elif, what is the news click, please?
After game one, how do you feel about the 2018 Chicago Bears? A, crushed but encouraged, 23%. B, crushed but the jury's still out, 33%.
A little more.
See, crushed, 42%.
Crushed is winning. Just crushed. You're just crushed, 42%.
I mean, I couldn't even get out of bed today.
Listen to Violetta's story about getting out of bed today. Hey, Violetta, how did your day start today?
I woke up, you know, the birds were chirping, and I'm like, what should I do today? Should I take a later yoga class? I got to go pick up my dry cleaning. When should I get my Starbucks? I thought it was Sunday. It's Monday. I opened up my Instagram and it said, do you have the case of the Mondays? I'm like, no, it's Sunday.
Why would I do that? It's Sunday. Oh, it's not.
What if I was, you know, my downward dog and, you know, Todd Manley called me and said, hey, where's traffic?
Thank God for Instagram, huh? Kind of save you. I can more relate to that in the reverse. How many times as a kid did you wake up on a on a Saturday morning and you think, oh, I don't want to go to school.
That happened to me this Saturday.
And then you wake up and then you go, wait, it's Saturday. Oh, yes. That's the greatest. And the reverse of that is the worst, too, where you wake up on Monday and go, oh, good, I've got to. Oh, no, it's Monday.
I didn't even set an alarm because even last night I thought tomorrow's Sunday. I got nothing to do.
Maybe Labor Day weekend threw you off the weekend before and you're still just one day off.
Yeah, we should always have Mondays off.
Did you see the story in the Tribune today? It's attributed to the Pioneer Press staff. Police dad put toddler in car trunk. Has anybody read this story? Listen to this. A 28-year-old Schaumburg man told police he was conducting a social experiment in the hopes of becoming an internet sensation. He put a toddler in a car trunk and slammed it shut while in the parking lot of a Norwich restaurant. His name is Bogoslav Motlock. And on September 2nd, he was at the Panera Bread, and he, in front of other people, grabbed his toddler, put it in the trunk of the car, slammed it hard, and then drove off. Later in the story, the Pioneer Press staff writes, he told police he was conducting a social experiment to see how people would react to him placing a toddler in the trunk and driving off. He told police he first went to the nearby Kmart and then the Petco store parking lots, but that there was no one at those locations to react to the stunt, so he decided to try Panera. Matlack said that he hoped to establish a YouTube channel and become an internet sensation. When the police officer suggested the action was irresponsible, Matlack said that getting arrested was a possible outcome of running the social experiment. Matlack told police that during the stunt, his wife was in the rear passenger seat of the vehicle and was able to secure the child after he climbed through the open trunk passenger area into the passenger compartment of the vehicle.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, because how many times have we seen people locking their kids in the trunk driving around? We know the old, they're going to use the passageway from the trunk to the back seat trick. Matlack's wife also said the stunt was part of a social experiment that she and her husband were conducting and recording, according to the report. Police said they later visited the couple's residence and the toddler appeared to be in satisfactory condition and unharmed. Police said they contacted the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. So the kid's unharmed. These are some screwy parents, but evidently there's no, I don't know if there's an actionable thing or not here. But what kind of parent is using their kid as a prop like that? These are nutty people. Have you ever driven around the trunk of a car, by the way?
No.
I have. So
really?
I have.
Voluntarily?
I did for half an hour.
Oh, that just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, me too. Did you not suffocate? Yeah. Clearly not. I mean, I don't know why I'm asking the question, but how did you do in there for half an hour?
It was okay.
You weren't scared?
I knew I was going to get out.
We did that in high school all the time. We'd pack a car, like, all right, dude, you got to go in the trunk. We're out of room here.
Here are my 2 cents from behind the scenes, though, from earlier this afternoon when you showed me this story first. I looked up his name, and I know how these things go with viral stories on social media.
Bogoslav Motlock?
Right. And His name is not on YouTube. He doesn't have a YouTube channel. He doesn't have a Twitter. He doesn't have a Facebook. He doesn't have an Instagram. So how would people even...
What's right?
How would he even know that he was going viral?
There goes the social experiment if you're not going to make it public, right? I mean, presumably there was a reason he was doing this, and he has no means to disseminate it, right?
Right. That's, yeah, exactly.
Even if he did. I mean, so then suppose, I mean, I guess it would be, ABC TV does this, what's the TV show where...
What Would You Do?
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking. Like, was he thinking people were going to come up to him and say, hey, you can't put your kid in the trunk?
Right. Isn't it terrible that people don't stop us or don't chase us or don't write down our license plate number? What would you do? You didn't do anything. Shame on you all. That's the social experiment. I mean, I guess that's a thing.
Right. But that show goes through great lengths to never put anyone in actual danger and also to do everything legally, you know.
It's not Boguslav Matlack and his wife driving around Panera parking lots looking for people.
And I like how they picked two other parking lots that had nobody in them first.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah. So, you know, really, the only thing you know is that these are kind of nutty people. And you feel for the kid. I mean, if they're going to do that when the kid's, I don't know what toddler means, how old, I know what it means. I don't know how old this kid is. But if you've got a little kid there who's feeling this, who is impressionable, maybe the kid thinks it's fun, right? Maybe the kid goes, oh, this is so fun. I got in the car and then I crawled through the hatch and mommy was there and we had cookies. But that's still...
Yeah, like when they used to time you to go get, like, you know, your dad's briefcase. Let's see how fast you could do it.
But it's still against the law, right? I mean, the kid's supposed to be buckled into a safety seat. I mean, besides just being ridiculous. Ella says you got to take a break. We'll pick up a couple of phone lines after that. Hey, Paul, you wanted to say what about this couple driving around with their kid in the trunk? Hey, Paul, are you there? This
Hello.
Is John. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, John. This sounds reminiscent of the guy. Do you remember the guy with the little kid supposedly got away in the balloon, some kind of a weather balloon or something? And I don't remember his name. I know he went to jail because NORAD or something was tracking this balloon.
Oh, and but the kid wasn't.
Turns out the kid was in the house the whole time, and they figured out. I just remember that.
Yeah, they pulled a stunt. The kid was supposed to be in the balloon.
Yes.
It took off. Everybody's losing their lunch trying to figure out where this kid is and find him and save him. And then the balloon crashes, and they find the debris. But the kid was in the house the whole time. It was a stunt they pulled.
Right. This is kind of reminds me of that. You were telling the story of Boguslav, which, by the way, how appropriate a name, Bogus.
yeah, no kidding. I'm out of time, but you're absolutely right. There's some goofy parents out there, aren't there, Paul?
Good talking to you, John.
Have a nice day. I appreciate your phone call. You betcha. Okay, Rokan, Anna DeVlantis, how are you guys?
Well, John, we're very lucky to have Ro with us today.
Who's that?
Well, all of us.
We're very lucky to have all of us with us?
No, to have Ro with us.
Yes.
Oh. All of us are lucky.
Right.
Did we almost lose him over
yes,
the weekend?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out we did.
Yeah, I was I was almost murdered last night at Lambeau Field. And there was a moment at halftime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At halftime when it was 17 to nothing, I'm in the concourse, and all the Bears fans are all, like, high-fiving each other and fist-bumping.
Uh-huh.
You know,
it was looking pretty good at halftime.
Knuckle hugging, you know, whatever we were doing. And I got to tell you, there was nothing more sideways than that moment. I mean, it was like...
Were the Bears fans smushing into the Packers fans' faces at halftime?
No, we were enjoying... We were trying to quietly enjoy it with each other. And what happened was there was a rumor running around the stadium that he had an ACL injury, that Rodgers had an ACL injury, he was out for the season. That's in my section, that's what everybody was talking about.
Wow.
So it was like they were mad and they were, oh, there goes our season, and then Khalil Mack did the thing with the deal and the, you know, I had the interception, it just drove everybody, they were so mad. And I was sitting next to one of the larger Packers fans I saw. And by the way, that's an interesting dynamic there.
That's a hell of a statement.
That's a hell of a statement. I mean, this guy was triple wide. And he was loud. Oh, my God. When they were, like, you know, trying to get you to make noise.
Uh-huh.
He was like the before pictures of Jared, you know? I mean, is it too soon to joke about Jared? But yes. From Subway, yes. Anyway. So mm-hmm. The point is that it was like it was hard. These people were mad, and then they got real happy real fast, and then we got out of there.
It was pure torture, I have to say. Oh, very God. Heartbreaking.
One last question: in the back of your mind, Ro, were you thinking this could go south?
Oh, for sure.
I wasn't.
Absolutely.
Were you?
No, absolutely.
I thought this was this was just it. The Packers were done.
It looked so good.
Well, until I saw number 12 standing on the sidelines with his helmet on at the end of halftime. I was like, oh, listen, if they'd kept
that.
What's
he doing?
If they'd kept Kaizen Sose or whatever. What was the guy's name?
DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, DeShone Kizer. If they'd kept him in, now that, all right, this is fine. This is going to be a rout. We're going to be out of here by the third quarter.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as I saw him going in, and I'm like, uh-oh, what? Wait, what?
Yeah.
But, and I just knew as soon as in the fourth quarter, when they had a drive that stalled with about 10 minutes left in the game, I turned to my friend. I'm like, okay, this is, they're going to lose this game now. Because he's just going to come back. They were still down by 10, and they were going to lose it.
Yeah, but when we kicked that field goal, I thought, that's not going to be enough. That's not going to be enough.
No.
Heartbreaking.
No. Yeah.
Well, right. I think we know what today's show's going to sound like. Have a real good one.
Oh, OB is going to be on the program.
Okay.
So, did you hear any OB last night?
I did. I heard the pregame and then the postgame.
Oh, okay.